Wonderful to have you here. Welcome to every one of you. And amazing to see so many people at a new members course, eh? We probably will never have a meal together, but it's great to be in the same church together. And it's humbling to see so many people who want to journey with us. It's great to have you here. We're actually just on a mission. And it started, for those who are very new here, we're sitting in a building in Durban. If you just go across the Umgeni River, there's a block of flats there. There were 10 of us 30 and a half years ago. 10 of us were sitting in a room. Our leader was an Afrikaans guy called Christian Wienand. And we were busy talking about God and the church. And we wanted to do church differently. We wanted to do it with our friends. And I'm sure if you haven't been hurt by the church, you'll probably get hurt here. But the church is a complicated place. And structures and leadership. And if you stay after tonight speaking about leadership and money, you'll probably stay forever, if we can get this one right. Because there's so much complication around this and how the church sees leadership. And actually, if I look at the Bible, it doesn't talk a lot about leadership. And so we take the leadership models from the world and we over-leadership the church. But actually, the mission of God is far more important than the leadership. The leadership is just there to help guide the direction of the church. Actually, not this big thing. And the leaders are not meant to be on the top of the church. I'm actually your servant, but you're not my boss. And that's how it works. So we live this thing. So I'm actually not here to lord. It says, don't lord it over the people. So leaders are not meant to actually control God's people. Leaders are meant to serve God's people. And so as I serve you, you should actually grow up in the things of God. And being sort of come on a Sunday and you get smacked on the head and you go away and you get naught and you come back the next Sunday, that's actually not what we're meant to be doing. So we're sitting in this room, and the only thing I can tell you is the Holy Spirit came on our leader. The Spirit of God descended on him. And he just said this, gentlemen, it's time to start churches. It just came out of his heart. And he just went around the room and he said, Leon, where are you going? And Leon said, I'll go to Brisbane, Chris. He said, Nigel, where are you going? He said, I'll go to London, Chris. He said, Lois, where are you going? He said, I'll go to Toronto. Chris said, Terry, where are you going? He said, I'll go to Impangeni. He said, Ashley, where are you going? He said, I'll go to Pretoria. He said, Rory, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Romania. You can go. I'm staying, bro. And from that group of guys, we've planted 80 churches around the world. And we're still friends. And what we do with our finances is that we empower guys to go and start their own churches. And if they want to work with us, that's cool. If they want to go independent, that's also cool. We don't own anybody. We don't have the same names. All our churches don't have the same names. We have independent names. So we all came from a church called Glenridge. That's where we all came from. And nobody actually is called Glenridge anything. We're not trying to reproduce a name. We're not trying to highlight 3CI. I don't like stickers on the back of cars because we're not a brand. We're just a group of people on a journey with a set of leaders trying to fulfill what God has called us to do. Amen? And so I stayed there. And the guy that was leading went to America. That was 30 years ago. And we're still friends. And we're still in the church. And we still believe in God. And we still believe in elders. And we're all here together doing it. And we want to invite you on that journey with us. Amen? And so let's go to Matthew 23. Let's start in Matthew 23. And I'll explain leadership to you in about 30 minutes. Everything they do is done for men to see. That's what people love, a platform. They love performance. One of the reasons why we don't preach off the stage is because we actually don't think we're the central figures in the story. So if you hear about the book of Acts, people say it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's actually, that's what the Holy Spirit is taking people on a journey. And men are not meant to be the central part of that. And so I'm actually an arrogant, I love attention, I love my own name, but as I seek God, I feel like God keeps saying, get out of the way so I can do my job. Amen? Everything they do is for men to see. They make their phylacteries, all the things on their clothes, wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. Church leaders. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you only have one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. So don't call me pastor, and I won't call you lawyer. Pastor's what I do. Lawyer's what you do. The person who I am, I'm Rory. It's absolutely, but this thing has crept into the life of the church, and we call these guys by names, we put them on pedestals, they take too much authority, and they take too much responsibility. And then what happens, friends, like it happens every Sunday, is people queue up here for me to pray for them because they think I've got some superpower. I have got no superpower. You and I are fallen human beings, saved by the grace of God, filled with the Spirit of God. If you want somebody to pray for you, just knock on the door of the person next to you and say, please pray for me, because you've got exactly the same access as Rory and the elders. It's absolutely important you understand that. Otherwise, you'll be disappointed because you'll think I'm in this church and I need to get to that guy. That guy is nothing. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you from the scriptures. That guy is nothing. When I do my job like preacher or lead, then you must listen because God's called me to do that. But when I step out of that, you and I are perfectly equal in everything. It's important you understand that. People come out week after week after week. Please, can I make an appointment? Do you think, why? Why with me? Why don't you just make it to the person who is sitting next to you? Because they're spiritful. They'll give you more time, more attention, more love, and they've got exactly the same access. But this mentality has to break down in our minds. Otherwise, you will have an expectation of me which I can't match, and then you will leave here disappointed, saying, Rory, you can never get hold of Rory. You're not meant to get hold of me because I don't have a title. Does that make sense to you, friends? It's very important that we understand that. And so let's have a look quickly at Acts 14. So if you were reading, go to Acts 14 before we put it up. Acts is, if you say to me, who are you trying to copy? What church are you trying to copy? We're not trying to copy any church other than the church in the book of Acts. We're trying to represent Acts. The book of Acts, you need to understand it. You want to be a member of this church, you must read through this. 28 chapters, read one chapter a day and ask God to imprint it on your heart. It starts in Jerusalem, the power of God fills them, and it ends up in Rome. And every kind of opposition that you can ever imagine happens in the book of Acts. And people come to me, yeah, and they say, hey, Rory, I'm going through a hard time. I say, read Acts. And all the opposition with S, they went through snake bites, shipwrecks, Sanhedrin, Sadducees, Satan. Every opposition was with the S. And at the end of the book, they're in Rome where God told them to be. And so you just keep serving God. You keep on the mission. We're on a mission. And our mission is to take the gospel from Pretoria to the ends of the earth. And we're inviting you to come and join us on our mission. You're going to have marriage problems, you're going to have financial problems, you're going to have all sorts of problems. Just join the mission, come on a Sunday, worship God, get in our home group, start serving coffee, and let's go on a mission together. Amen. And you don't need a one-on-one appointment with a pastor because psychology has taken this individual access to somebody's divine attention for 1 hour, which they pay for. They stick them on a couch. They give them psychological care. It's called a therapeutic movement, which has crept into the church and think, I need Rory. I can't help you. I'm just telling you, get on the mission. We've been on the mission for 30 years. We have planted 80 successful churches around the world on the mission. You stay with us, we'll bless you. We'll be good to you. We won't bind you up. We won't rip you off. We won't take your money, but we'll give you a purpose. At the end of it, when you leave here to get moved somewhere, you think, flip, that was amazing worshiping with the 3CR guys. They never lorded it over me. They never took advantage of me. They never tried to control me. They just pointed me in the right direction. We went on mission. And inside of this mission, friends, if you're sitting here and you're a single woman, you don't need to get married to serve God. The book of Acts is the most amazing book. In Acts chapter 1, it says there were mothers. In the upper room, there were mothers. There was a businesswoman called Lydia who opened up the whole Philippian church. Some of you are hotshot directors of your companies, women, directors. You're meant to be out on the mission. There's another girl called Rhoda, servant girl. She just opened the door. Her name makes the book of Acts. Philip's four unmarried daughters are prophesying. Every kind of woman you can imagine is in the book of Acts. So whatever kind of woman you are, single woman, married woman, business woman, divorced woman, you fit into the mission. Get on the mission. Amen? So don't sit here thinking, well, we're going to just suck out of it. No, friends, we're going. 30 years. Come and join us. And then you'll meet our friends from Durban. You'll meet our friends from Portugal. You'll meet our friends from London. You'll meet our friends in Toronto that we went on mission with. We all saved our money, went to London, knocked on doors. You've seen British people knock on doors. Ooh. You want to come to church? Ooh. We spent a week knocking on doors in London. Not one person visited. But 30 years later, the church is still there. The owner building in Kingston, an old theater. Friends, that's part of our mission. It's part of our inheritance. Banjo's Coffee, if you don't know this, the family that planted this church is the Bell family. And I was sitting one day, I thought, I want to honor the Bell family for, they were surfers from Durban. And when he went around that thing, he said, I'll go to Pretoria. I'll give up my surfing. I'll go to Pretoria and start a church. His daughter's name was Bianca. His name is Ashley. His wife's name is Nadine. His son's name is Jordan. He came here with 12 O's, and his daughter's name is Starla. B-O-N-J-O-S, Banjos, the name of the coffee shop after the family that planted this church. We're just a group of friends trying to serve God. And in the middle of this, Acts 14, if you can put it, Acts 14. So there's just keep Acts 14 up. Before we, friends, they're military people. They're professors. They're eunuchs. I always say this, we serve God with black and white, rich and poor, married and single, educated and uneducated, all in the book of Acts. And they're all on a mission. And book of Acts is 28 verses, 28 chapters, and slap bang in the middle. We see this verse. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, said Paul and Barnabas appointed, say it. In the middle of the mission is this group of people called the Odelina. Normally rich, grumpy men in a church, eh? The Odelina, the elders. For them in each church, say each church. So this church has a set of elders. There are 10 of us. Here they sit with their wives. There are 10 of us, and God has said that this church has been given this set of elders. So if you come here and say, I want to raise wave an Israeli flag, wrong set of elders. There are some elders that will do that. We are not those elders. So this might not be your church, because God has given this set of elders a vision to change the world, to use this base, to take our resources, and to send them out and to empower other people to reproduce what we have here. That's what God has given these elders to do, right in the middle of the book. So when we go on mission, you think, well, do I like Rory or don't? Some of you won't like me. I don't know why, but you won't. I'm one of the nicest guys I know. But with this elder and this elder and our wives together, we meet and we pray for you. And God has given us a vision. And if he sent you here, you have to support that vision. There's no point in fighting with us. You say, well, God has sent me here. The Bible says God added to their number daily. So if God has put you here, then you'll work with the elders. We will have some challenges, but we'll work together. And then as the church grows, we see we've got growth problems like we've got in 3CR. God gives us Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, you've seen 3CR grow. We got here, there was a tent, there was just a few hundred people, and it's grown and grown and grown. We built this building. Everybody in COVID didn't go back to church because they got used to online. We're building this church, so when we were finished after COVID, everybody didn't see where their money had gone. So they all came back to church. Now we've got a full church. But God's been good to us. This is bigger than most churches in the world on a new members course. So the church is growing, but growth has got problems. Because we can't get to the pastor. We can't get hold of Rory or Clint. So God put something in place. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Afrikaans guys complained against the English folks. Modern translation. So jylle flippin' Engels manne, jylle kan nie braai nie. Modern translation with a little bit of license. Because their widows were being overlooked. Say overlooked. You see, if you come here and you've got some needs, it's very difficult to meet those needs because there are lots of people and there are only 10 elders. You think, well, how do I make an appointment? You can't. And if you can't, you're going to think, well, I'm being overlooked. So then God has to put something in place that you're not overlooked. He's got to put a structure in place where you can actually be seen and work it out. So most times when people come here, they've got long-term problems which they want short-term solutions for. They come and say, will you pray for me? I said, well, it's not going to help. You've been drinking for 6 years. So you need to join the new members course. You need to understand how we work. You've got to know the mission that we're involved in. We put you into a home group. People can journey with you. People can challenge you. They can love you. They can pray for you. And actually, if you stay with us on this mission, we've done a lot of people a lot of good. Does that make sense? So don't get overlooked. If you're getting overlooked, it's because you're not pressing into the systems that we've got here, the care structures. In the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Next verse. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon. My job, friends, and these guys' job is to prepare the word and to pray. That's my job. And if you have 40 hours of meetings with me, which I used to do, and I burnt myself out to an absolute smithereens where I ended up in a psychiatrist's office shaking like a leaf and being completely dizzy because I said yes to everybody who needed help, I realized it was the pressure of the people upon me and it's not the biblical model. I'm not that important. And we have got structures in place to take care of the growth that is happening here. And there's multicultural growth. There are black guys coming in, there are white guys coming in, there are English guys coming in, there are Afrikaans guys. We've all got different issues. We all worship differently. And just to tell you, Afrikaners, the only instrument that's not in the Bible is the organ. Just so I thought I'd put it out there. So when you think this loud music is charismatic music, that's biblical music. There's stringed instruments, there's trumpets, there's harps, there's drums, but there's no organ. Okay. Just so we got that right. But there are structures, friends. So you actually have to change your mindset to understand leadership. Leadership is to keep the church on the mission. To read the word of God, to pray. We've got a war room here, and in that war room, we pray as an eldership. We pray, we cry out to God, we use peace and forgiveness and generosity and kindness, all the weapons of war that God gives us, and you are sitting under a praying leadership team. Hope that makes sense to you. How are we doing? You okay? Okay, so we just got a few things. The 4 things we want to do, you'll see it in your book here. We want to glorify God in everything that we do. So we're not trying to make you pastors. We're trying to make you the best IT guys in the world. We're going to make you the best sportsmen, the best mothers, best fathers, best grannies, best fiancés. We want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We want to know Christ. If you stay in this church, we'll teach you about Christ. I want to know Christ. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I don't want to hype you up with motivational speeches every Sunday on TED Talks that you go out here thinking, we are the top and not the tail, we are above and not beneath. I want you to know how to handle suffering because Jesus suffered. And it says in Hebrews 5, although he is a son, he learned obedience by what he suffered and became the source of eternal encouragement. I want to teach you how to suffer in Christ. I want to teach you how to live victoriously in Christ. I want to teach you how to love the shepherd, that he can lead you to green pastures and quiet waters. And every time we teach here, we want to teach you more about Jesus. And when you leave here, you understand the Jesus of Colossians, the supreme Jesus. And you'll find Jesus in the book of Isaiah. We want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. That's why you come on a Sunday. We want to serve the church. Because the Bible says we're not all the same. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You're no good sportsman. I've got eye-hand coordination. If I'm an eye and you in hand and we get the coordination right, we score 100 runs. It says, don't let the lesser parts or the bigger parts say to the lesser parts, I'm like the mouth of this church. All you do is ever hear me. Wow, wow, wow. Don't let the bigger part say to the lesser part, the appendix, I don't need you. So all of us have got this role to fulfill. But the church, the way the church works in Pretoria is we all come and sit and we listen and we become an audience instead of an army listening to some guy. I've just got a 1 or 2 hour job a week here. is to preach. But you and I have got a mission together to use our gifts, to open our homes, to serve people, to prophesy over people, to love them, to make them coffee, to serve the local church, and to bless the world. I want people to say, he goes to 3CR, we should employ him. He's an amazing guy. It's an amazing church to bless the world. That's what we want to do. Amen? We want to empower everybody. So let's have a look at Acts 20. How long have we got, Clint? I don't even know. How long have we going? Let's go to Acts 20. Let's go from verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders. Say elders. Every time you see the word elder in the Bible, it's always plural. So the lead elder is actually not the person who's meant to stand up and take authority. There are too many lead elders with too much authority in the world. And with that too much authority comes too much responsibility, and that responsibility kills them. So they end up sinning, having affairs, getting drunk, doing stupid things, taking money, increasing their lifestyles. It's not meant to happen. I lead the team that lead the church. This church is an eldership-governed church. It's always plural. It's for your safety. Remember, God, the elders are a gift to the church. But when you go to heaven, there are 24 elders there. One of my mates said, I don't want to go to heaven because there are 24 elders there. I wish when you leave this church, you think, I can't wait to get to heaven because there are 24 elders there that love God's people, that serve God's people, that honor God's people, that don't boss God's people, don't shout at God's people. Elders, capital. Let's go to the next verse, please. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what happened to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider myself nothing worth. I only finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see him again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm the innocent of the blood of all men. For I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Say the whole will of God. There are a few guys in this church that wear their wives' shirts to church. I don't know if you've seen them. You see them. You can see them. They wear their wives' shirts. They come and they, it's just like, we used to have a worship leader in the old church. He used to say, God is so strong. God is so, he's like this bulging muscles in his very tight shirt. But they always wear long pants. So they've got these like ripped bulging muscles. They take their pants off, their calves are like this. Because they like do all the TV muscles, but they don't actually do their legs. You know what? All of us have got a preference. All of us want to hear about the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. But the Bible also talks about the truth of God and discipline and discipleship and submission and honor and hell and heaven and grace and forgiveness and money. Jesus talks more about money than another subject. He said, well, don't go to church because all they ever talk about is money. Now, our job is to pronounce the whole counsel of God. And so what I do at the end of the year is I phone two or three of my friends and I say, this is what we've preached on. These are the books we've preached on. What do you guys think? They say, actually, I think you need to speak on one of the Gospels next year. So because we have external links, next year we're going to do the book of Mark so that the beginning of the whole of next year will be started with Jesus, just for 3 months. Then we'll do the book of James, and then we'll do the book of Psalms. But by the end of the time that you're here, for 3 or 4 years, we say a student must come from the tell, spend 3 or 4 years inside of our church, and at the end of those 3 or 4 years, they should understand the whole counsel of God. So there's some Sundays you'll come here, you think, that was for me. It doesn't matter if it's for you or not. You're going to learn about God. Does that make sense? Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's another word for the elders. Overseers. Our job is to oversee the church. So us 10 guys oversee the church. Plural. You see that? That saves people from cults and from strong personalities. So I've got a very strong personality. I've got very strong convictions. But I honestly believe I'm submitted to this eldership team. keeps us safe. Be shepherds, say shepherds. You see, with a capital S, with a S on the end, plural. Elders, plural. Overseers, plural. Shepherds, plural. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own. Can I tell you, that is one of the most sobering that verse stops any control from leadership to people because you have been purchased with the blood of Christ. You cannot take advantage of God's people because they are priceless. That scripture keeps me awake at night. When I was young, I used to bang the pulpit. I used to shout when people weren't doing the right thing. And I read that verse of scripture. And he said, you're an elder. You have got authority. People listen to you. But you must remember this. I bought them with my blood. And so I pray as an eldership team, we would treat you pricelessly. That you would reach and feel the highest value because the highest price was paid for you. And the church is actually not about the elders. The church is about the people. Bought with a great, very expensive price. And the Bible says, when I get to heaven, I will give an account to God for the people that he sent to me. I was walking out of here about 2 years ago. I was walking out here. And sitting just over there, in that chair over there, was a man. As I looked up at him, I felt God say to him, he's having an affair with somebody in your church. And I went up to him, I said, I want to meet with you for breakfast. And I said, you are having an affair with somebody in my church. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. And after 1 hour, he said, yes, I am. I said, I know, because those people sitting in my church were bought with the blood of Christ, and you don't stuff with my sheep. And I hope you always feel precious here. You have to be led because sheep do all sorts of stupid things. So you have to be shepherded, but you'll be preciously shepherded. Let me show you how authority works in the Bible. God always puts leadership in the Bible because without leadership, you can't go anywhere. But he puts a protective mechanism in here. So there are three types of leadership: government, church, and family. There are no boards in the government. There are only elders and deacons. And Ephesians 4, the apostles and prophets. There's no rada and all those things doesn't exist in the Bible. But God puts this thing in place here to protect people. So that you have to submit to the elders, but if it goes against God's word, you're completely free. You can't submit to something that is not biblical. So let's talk about toll fees. I declare that I will never pay for... Just pay your toll fees, man. Stop being a wally. The Bible says, don't get drunk. And the government says after 2 beers, you can't drive because you're drunk. But you say, I've been drinking since I was 16. Doesn't matter how long you've been drinking. What does the Bible say? What does the government say? And you must submit to that. Family, husband is the head of the home. The church, the elders are the head of the church. If I stand up and say, I must give 20% of your income to the church, the word of God doesn't say that. So you can't submit to that because it's not biblical. But if I get up here and start to talk about what God wants us to do, you must submit to it. Because your job is to submit to the leaders. What kind of leaders? Humble, servant-hearted, blood-soaked, God-convicted, humble leaders. And you submit to the leaders, and the leaders lay down their lives for you. And you submit to the leaders, and the leaders lay down their lives for you. And you submit to the leaders, and the leaders lay down their lives for you. And you submit to the leaders, and the leaders lay down their lives for you. And this way we go on mission together, seeing eye to eye on our knees. And here, wife submits to her husband. Husband lays down his life for his wife. Wife submits to husband. Husband lays down his life for his wife. Wife submits to husband. Husband lays down his wife. And we do marriage on our knees. I want to invite you on a 30-year journey. But you're going to do it on our knees. There are going to be times you're going to be cross with me and times I'm going to be cross with you. But if we do it on our knees, we'll fulfill the Great Commission of Acts. We'll get to the end of the world. Let me show you how leadership works. We finish for this session. Next picture. Typical Afrikaans home. Sorry. I've been here for a while. Ek is die baas van die plaas. En as ek huis toe kom, praat ek. Jy moet my bier bring, vrou, asseblief, want ek wil 'n bietjie TV kyk en die koerant lees. Want ek is die baas van die plaas. I'm the head of the church. And I'm in charge of this whole thing. And when I speak, everybody must jump. People must carry my bags. They must call me Pastor Rory. And this thing is open to domination. And God says, you better not dominate my people. Make sense? This one here I call it the demon-possessed church. The deacon-possessed church. This is when 10 or 12 clever guys decide that they're going to tell the pastor where he must live, what he must preach on, and if they don't like him, they fire him. He becomes a servant of all. But the pressure is so much that they exist exactly, they just burn out. Because you can't hear God. Either I'm called by God, and I can lead you, and when you come here on a Sunday, I should feed you. The way the grace of God works is if I'm doing my job, the grace should flow from me to you. If I'm not doing my job, the grace flows from you to me. And after 6 or 7 Sundays, you think, that's not my place because he doesn't feed me. And I see some people here that have come from home churches because this thing hurts people. This is open to domination. This is open to manipulation or intimidation. So what we do is we actually form a church where there's no Lord. We just kind of all goof around. We meet in a house. We wait for the Holy Spirit. And God has done amazing things. But if anything is healthy, it should grow. So some people say, I prefer small churches to big churches. Any small church that's got the Spirit of God must grow. It has to. Because everything, wherever God is, it grows. You say, well, flip, this church is so huge. Yeah, we've got deacons that will look after you. We've got people that will meet with you. We've got people that look after you. But actually, get on the mission. Join a barista team. Get into a home group. Support your elders, pray for them, contribute your bit, and we actually, but this is how we believe it works, like this. So the elders are the head of the church, not the head of the church, a head of the church. We actually want to go on a mission. We want to go and change the world, and we'll set an example, and we're asking you to submit to us. Not submit to us like this, not try and rule our lives like this, to get behind this pattern, to submit to this, and let's go for Jesus. That is how simple biblical leadership is. And we should not be entering into massive wars between people and leaders. Because we meant to serve you and you meant to serve us. And we meant to serve you and you meant to serve us. And we meant to serve you and you serve us. And when we do that, we find ourselves on our knees fulfilling the mission of God. God bless you. Right.